time for the message, and we pray that God's Holy Spirit, that it's His words and not my words, that it's His power, not my power, and the focus is on Him on this Memorial Day, of the one who gave up His very life for you and for me, and frees us from all of our sins and gives us new hope and new life. Amen? All right, so John 12, this is part two of a message that I started last Sunday on seeing and hearing. And we talked last week pretty much a lot about seeing. I'm still going to talk a little bit about seeing, because Jesus talks about in our text how they were so blind. Jesus did all these miracles, they still go, "I don't see where this guy's any special. He's nothing special. I don't know, can he the good come out of Nazareth? Who is this guy?" They didn't believe him, even with all these unbelievable miracles. And think now, Lazarus had just been raised from the dead just days before this text. We're back to John 12, right? This is before Good Friday, before Easter, but after Lazarus had been raised from the dead. So there's a lot of talk. I mean, that was out and about, this news, because Lazarus was out and about, walking around. And everybody knew he'd been as good as dead. And he had been raised by the power of Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of controversy. Some love Jesus. Some people love Jesus. Some hated him, right? So there's all this division, all this conflict going on. And Jesus is calling them to believe in him. And he's saying, "You just don't see it. You just don't see it. Wake up. Look with the eyes of faith." And then he also talks about hearing. And as he's talking about the time and the hour to come, this voice from heaven booms out, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." So it talks about hearing. Now, I've got my radio here that Elizabeth is guarding with her life. Excuse me. Oh, sorry. I don't understand radio waves. I don't. Maybe some of you do. I don't understand how you can plug this baby in, and it has a receiver in it that can receive radio waves, and if I get the right frequency, like if I was trying to find the Indy 500 that's on, and I try to find that, or some ball game, or some music, and if I would try to find it, or Christian radio for that matter, it would pick it up. Now, many times, you know, those two radio towers we have across the street, right? Unfortunately, sometimes the noise and the sound from that radio station comes into our sound system, and we don't want to pick up. As wonderful as that station is, it's a Christian station, and sometimes that sermon on the radio is better than mine. But regardless of that, it is a little distracting to hear this other noise. And sometimes we hear it even in these speakers, even when the sound system's off, I'll hear it faintly sometimes. I'm here by myself late at night, I'm hearing a voice. I go, "Oh no, I need to go to Touchstone for my own help." But it comes out of those speakers. I don't understand radio waves. I don't get it. I really don't. And if you can explain it to me, more power to you. But anyway, God is speaking all the time. The thing is, do we have the right receiver to pick up on what he's saying? And he speaks with a still, small voice most of the time. Right? And he's speaking all the time. The only thing is, we aren't listening. I can have so much chatter in my own head of thoughts and ideas and running here, running there, doing that, being hyper, da, 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 or other voices coming at me. "Pastor, do this. Pastor, that. Perry, we need this stone, Touchstone. We need that. Da, 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 da." Oh, and many people today are out camping to get away from all that noise, right? Guess who goes with them? Their own self. Their own mind goes with them. And they have to learn. And we have to learn to tune all that out to be able to hear. And Babby, I remember one time on Wednesday nights when Babby came early, and she's preparing for the worship and the Bible class and everything else, and she'd be doing crossword puzzles. And I go, "Now, how unspiritual is that? What's with that? She's preparing. She told me she's getting ready to hear from God, and she's doing a crossword puzzle." Well, I've learned since then from Joyce Meyer and others that Babby's right. What she was doing was clearing her mind first and then opening up the Bible, because by doing those crossword puzzles, it put her mind, took away all the other stuff so she could hear God. Joyce Meyer in the book Battlefield for the Mind talks about being still and quiet so we can be prepared to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I go, that's pretty spiritual after all. And whatever, maybe it's not that for you. But what calms you down? What quiets you down? Maybe quiet music? Maybe water, waterfall or something. Isn't there something powerful about listening to water? It's soothing and comforting. Or maybe it's certain music worship and praise music, instrumental music, classical music, whatever it is that calms you down, that calms the voices and all the noise in our head to be able to hear the Holy Spirit. That's when we listen to Him, that still, small voice. Because He's still speaking, right? He's speaking all the time. And like what Kelly just did, take a deep breath and listen to Him. Because He has something to say. God has something to say to His church. And what is going on is absolutely, totally amazing to what's happening. So we want to hear His Spirit. We want to hear His voice. Because He's definitely talking to the church. And we'll talk about that in a little bit after this. But there's one primary way in which God speaks. And Pastor Joy, who's had quite a interesting round of experiences here recently, she's graduating June 11th. We're all invited to that at 10:30 in the morning. We'll talk about that later. But she had a message Wednesday night that was so powerful. And it was like the missing piece in my sermon today, so I'm going to ask Pastor Joy to preach part of what she talked about Wednesday. And then we'll come back for part two of my message. So, Pastor Joy? Yeah.
Good morning. This is one of those few times where you get two for the price of one. Well, God has put it on my heart to talk about study. Why should we bother studying the Bible? If we have Jesus in our hearts, what else do we need? And the very perfect example is what has recently occurred. You all may have seen the billboards that said, "Judgment is coming on May the 21st. And people were very afraid. We've had all of the news about the Mayan calendar indicating that the world is going to end on December the 20th of 2012. And people are afraid about the end. But what does the Word say? In Matthew 24, it talks about, particularly verse 36, it says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." So anyone who says that the end of the world is on a particular day is wrong. Simply wrong. And we can only know that if we study the Bible. Now the other dangers when we fail to study the Bible. For those who are about my age, the headlines, Jonestown. They were following a man who believed he was a prophet of God. He was teaching things that did not line up with the Word, but they didn't know. For the younger folks, a few years ago, there was Waco. Again, people were following a man who claimed to be a prophet and was telling them what he thought God wanted them to hear. But it didn't line up with the Word. We're called to study the Word. So we know the character of God. We know the heart of God. So we're not deceived. The other verse that came to mind to point out is in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, and it talks about, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." Again, how interesting that we've had two other scriptures that deal with preparing yourself, with study, and, you know, on my own, with the leading of the Holy Spirit, you know, I felt called to point this one out to you. So clearly God is calling to the people to study His Word so that we know His character. In regards to the end of the age, in the first part of Matthew 24, it talks about Jesus and His disciples talking, and they ask Him, "When will be the end of this age?" Not the end of the world, but the end of the current age that they were in. And Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you, For many will come in my name, claiming that I am Christ, and many will be deceived. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Again, it's not the end, but rather a beginning. How interesting that it talks then further on in 24 at verse 37. It says, as in the days of Noah, and the name Noah means he who saves. Noah, it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, the people were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Life was continuing on. And yet, when we look at our history, that when there have been times of great famine, marriages have stopped. For those folks who have studied the effects of the famine in Ireland, when so many folks in Ireland had come to the United States, their recorded certificates issued for marriage and birth certificates dropped. There was a drop because people were afraid to start new families. They were afraid to move out of their family of origin, their family home, and begin new family units. Here, it indicates that in the last days, they won't be afraid. Life will be continuing on. Eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage. But through all of this, we're called to study, to show ourselves approved, to know the character, the heart of God, to know His Word. Jesus is also the Word. And as we study the Word, we get to know Jesus better. That feeds our spirit and our soul and allows our faith to grow and to be nurtured. Because He loves us so much, He continues to call us to Himself. And He does that in part through His Word. Now for part two.
Thank you, Joey. Appreciate that. And once we've heard from God correctly, not like that crazy guy from last Saturday, then we can go out with the right message. And what is the right message? Our head of our IT department had this on his computer. It's a picture, it's a Jesus, it's a crucifix of Jesus with lightning in the background. He thinks it was taken right before the tornadoes in Joplin. This is a different cross than perhaps you've seen at one church where the cross is still standing. Similar to happen in 9/11. But look at this. It's not a good picture of it, but see the lightning and the storm and Jesus. It's pretty cool, you know, and it's even better in color. And in our text, Jesus was talking about the hour coming, and He prayed to His Father that the Father would glorify Him, and then you heard that booming voice say, I have glorified it, and I will again. Where did the Father glorify Jesus? At the cross. Right? That's where it happened. At the cross. Speaking of the cross, we had our closing service, the Girl Scouts, and they gave Pastor Rick and I this beautiful, most beautiful cross. Well, there's another beautiful cross I got too. But there's two beautiful crosses, very similar in color that I have. But I just love that. And look at the pieces of glass that are broken. And God uses these broken pieces in our lives, just like the person who made this used the broken pieces, right? I just love that. I just love that. Exactly. Exactly. That's what the cross is all about. When Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people, all mankind to myself. And He was talking about being lifted up on a cross. And who would have thought that an ugly cross would become so beautiful? Jesus makes the cross beautiful by His resurrection. that he was raised another way, first raised up on the cross, and then on Easter was raised up by the Father to be raised. Christ is risen. Amen. He is risen, and we glorify that. We praise Him that He is alive and well. And those people in Joplin have experienced His resurrection power. Even when they've lost everything, that He's still there. And so now that you've heard correctly the Word, and you know about the cross, now it's your turn to be His mouthpiece. He is counting on, Christ is counting on you to show His love and share His love. And if you all of a sudden, and if I just close it up, and don't talk about it or don't show it. We don't do show and tell. What God's given us, God is calling. He is calling. And that's why I use this song that most of you probably never heard of. But it's saying, as sure as gold is precious and the honey sweet, so you love this city and you love these streets. Every child out playing by their own front door. Every baby laying on the bedroom floor. Every dreamer dreaming on their dead-end job. Every driver driving through the rush hour mob. I feel it in my spirit. Feel it in my bones. You're going to send revival and bring them all back home. From the preacher preaching when the well is dry, been there. To the lost soul reaching for a higher high. From the young man working through his hopes and fears, to the widow walking through the veil of tears, every man and woman, every old and young, every father's daughter, every mother's son. I feel it in my spirit, feel it in my bones. You're going to send revival. Bring them all back home. Isaiah has a verse that talks about that. He says, I will bring your children, your sons and daughters from afar, and I will gather them together. That's the word for today. And the word is also, pray for revival. God is calling the church to wake up and to go out and to pray for revival. That's what we do Monday night. We do Wednesday night. That God will wake us up so that He would wake up others that are living in spiritual death like zombies. Physically alive but spiritually dead. Walking around like zombies. You know those old science fiction movies? And they're coming out of the corpse and their skin's all half gone, you know, and the night of the living dead and all that. People are out here, physically alive and spiritually dead. They're zombies. And there is one person, only one, who can bring them to life. And you know who that is, right? You know who that is. And God's calling the church to get out of its box and go out to the prisons, go out to the jails, go out everywhere, wherever you work. And first let your light shine, and then with patience and gentleness share the hope that we have within us. How's your hope? Where's your hope? In Jesus, right? Nothing like what happened in Joplin. That tests where our hope really is when you lose everything. But before that happens, and hopefully it won't to us, before that happens, take this time to reflect, where is your hope? And listen to that voice in the Word, in the Spirit. And listen to what He's saying right now to the church. What is the Spirit saying to the church today, right now? Because He's still speaking. He didn't stop speaking. And I think He's saying, like Pastor Rick keeps saying with that book, Mega Shift, over and over, love all people to Christ. Believe in the miraculous, that God can still raise the dead and heal and bring sight to the blind. And He's doing it. He's doing it all over the world. And we want to be part of that, right? But we've got to listen. Listen up. Jesus said over and over, if you have ears to hear, then listen. How's your hearing? We pray. Father, there's so many noises in our world today. So many things grabbing for our attention. Grabbing us for this and grabbing us for that. But Lord, help us to listen to You. Help us to improve our hearing. Holy Spirit, be the hearing aid to magnify Your voice so we can hear it. As many times we don't hear it. Speak to our church. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our families, Lord. And help us to hear what Your word is for today for us. And Samuel, a little Samuel, was called out in the middle of the night by You, God, And then Eli finally said, next time you hear that voice, say, Lord, here am I. Your servant listens. Your servant's listening. May we be like little Samuel. Here I am, Lord. Your servant is listening. Speak to us that we might speak to others. That message of life and hope and that cross with that those jagged pieces of glass that you can bring the broken pieces of our lives back together again and others as well. And amazing, amazing stories all over that you're doing. Help us to be part of your adventure. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.